Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation. We're going to spend some time today looking at eternal city, the heavenly Jerusalem. And as we look at it, we will be reminded of what a great place heaven will be. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 10, he says, carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And so the whole appearance of heaven from a distance, the Bible says, was like unto a precious stone, a clear, precious stone that reflected all the glory and the light of the city of God. And so as we see the look at heaven from this city from a long distance, it's like a magnificent a diamond, a magnificent precious stone, and the rays of glory and brightness just emanate from that great city. And the Bible says, and it had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. As we think about this wall, the Bible tells us, verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. The wall of the city was 270 feet tall. Now, that's quite a ways. That's almost a football field height of the walls of the city. And the Bible tells us that the building of the wall was like jasper, another precious stone, and the city was pure gold. And so we have these huge walls of the city. And it tells us that the walls were tall and they were broad and that they were built of precious stones. Not only a secure place, but the walls were beautiful. The beautiful security that we have in Jesus Christ. Thinking of that verse in 1 John. And the wicked one toucheth him not. And it says in John chapter 10, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The security of heaven cannot be lost, cannot be invaded by the evil one, cannot be invaded or harmed, but we are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just a security, there's a beauty of that security that is pictured in these walls themselves, the Bible says, made of jasper. A wonderful thing in life to know Jesus Christ. A wonderful thing to be secure in Christ. It's a wonderful thing to know Him. It just is beyond description what it will be like to be with Him eternity, for eternity in heaven. Is safe, secure, beautiful walls. The Bible tells us the city the walls are great and high, and it has 12 gates. 12 gates. And the picture of the number of the gates is a picture that all have access to this city through Jesus Christ. All men have access to this city through the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, 12 is important. You see 12 in this in this picture over and over and over. And reminded that in the Bible that there were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 apostles that then the tribulation, there's the 144,000, 12 times 12,000. And 12 is 2 times 6, which is 6 is the number of man. That's the day that man was created. And so there's 12 gates to the city. 12 gates, speaking of the greatness of the access to this city. As you think about the gates, it talks about the gates. It says, let's see, where am I trying to get here? Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. One pearl. Well, you know, how do you think of a pearl that big? Now, if the city walls were 270 feet tall, and so how big were those pearls? That's a pretty big pearl, isn't it? And you know, pearls, there's all sorts of pearls. You know, the best pearls are very rare, aren't they? I'm talking about real ones, not made in a, you know, a real one, not one made in a factory, but a real one. Very rare, very expensive, very precious. But here the gates are made of, each one made of one pearl, glistening pearls. And I think that as you think about that pearl, you think of Jesus as the great pearl without price. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, it cometh unto the Father except by me. It's not through church. It's not through baptism. It's not through good works. It's through Jesus Christ. And He's the pearl of great price. And these gates represent the greatness of the entrance into heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so it has 12 gates. And they're all, each one is of one pearl. And those pearls represent the fact that there's nothing in this world that could show the magnificence of the glory of heaven. And the Bible tells us the city is of gold. It tells us that the walls are made of jasper. It's telling us there's nothing in this world that could represent correctly the glory of heaven. And it says, verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. 12 angels. Well, there's an angel at every gate. Not only are there 12 angels there, but those angels are there to guard the gates. And of course, there's a great truth there, isn't it? Because, no one can get to heaven without the wedding garment. No one can get to heaven without salvation. No one can get to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. No one can get to heaven and come into that city who's not been born again. And there's 12 angels there. Now, I wonder how they got that at the gates of heaven, Peter was standing there when the Bible says it's the angel standing at the gates. They got that mixed up, didn't they? Like a lot of other things, people got mixed up. But there's angels there. There's no one going to come in. No one that's going to come in. And that is without Jesus Christ. And verse 8 reminds us of it. That the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, whoresters, idolaters, liars, they aren't going to get in there. No, no one's going to get there who hasn't trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we have the gates of the city. Verse 16, it says, verse 15, he talked with me. And had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reeds, 12,000 furlongs, 1,500 miles. And the length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. And so we have the city is... four square. Now, as we think of four square, there's a lot of things that we can think of. We can think of the fact of the uniformity of the city. That it's a uniform. 12 foundations, 12 walls. It's four square. It's a city of uniformity. It's uniform in purity, and it's uniform in perfection. And, there's so many things in it today that are trying to cause people's idea of God to be distorted. But the city of God is uniform, and it's uniform and it's equal in purity and in perfection. You know, isn't it amazing today that we have a trend in society of sloppiness? Amazing that we have this a trend of almost I guess you would call it the trend of mixture. It doesn't really matter what you believe. You know, whatever you believe is fine. You know, God really isn't a God who is a God of truth. And God isn't a God of uniformity. And it's amazing that things are becoming more and more discordant and scattered and... mixed in these days. But God, He's uniform. And He is perfect. And His city reflects who He is. And that is reflected in the very dimensions of heaven. Notice it says, the foundations of the city. It said, verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the Bible tells us that, verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. These foundations... Now, you know, we have down at our house, the major the old original house, built in 1858. And those foundation walls, what they did was they dug a trench, and probably about this wide. They dug a trench, and they threw rocks in there, and they threw mortar in there, and that's how they made the foundation. You know, just, there's an old rock, throw her in there, you know, and put some more mud in there, throw another rock in there. And, you know, and then when they got above the ground, then they did a little shaping, you know, and made it look a little bit nicer. But, boy, you know, that's the foundation. Well, guess what? This foundation is not a bunch of old rocks and not a bunch of mud and rocks thrown in a trench. These foundations, the Bible says, are garnished with all manner of precious stones. Wow. Rubies. Diamonds. You name it. Huh. That's what's in those walls. And it speaks of the greatness of and the glory of the foundations of that city. It reminds us of what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And what was that foundation? The foundation was that through the apostles and prophets was given the word of God. And here we have a city built upon the promises of God that are precious, never failing. That's a great, that's something to build your life on. Huh. You know, the foundations of that city. And people today, you know, they're missing out. Their life isn't built on anything that's really of lasting value. Their life is built on the opinions of men. Their life is built on the changing times of the day. Their life is built on the decaying culture of Hollywood. But here's a city. The foundation is built upon and garnished with the precious stones that represent the apostles. Now, you know, as I was thinking about that, isn't that amazing when you think about it? The importance of being in the center of God's will. You know, God had a plan. He had a plan for 12 tribes of Israel, didn't he? Boy, that's a big part of his plan. And the gates were named after the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the New Testament, we have the 12 apostles. And, of course, the Bible says they are among those who hazarded their lives for the Word of God. The apostles were the ones that were trained and commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to spread the gospel through the ends of the world. And, you know, and Peter said to the Lord, Lord, we have left all and followed you. And what is there in it for me? And Jesus said, there's no man that hath left house or home or father or mother or brother or sister or lands for my sake in the gospel that will not receive 100-fold in the kingdom to come and eternal life. And the gates of the city, I mean, the foundations of the city were named after the apostles. And we have a sense here of what it says there in Daniel. We have a little sense here of the plan of God and the fact that the Lord says in Hebrews 6:10, the Lord is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And even as we memorize in Ephesians 5, 6 there, that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And Daniel chapter 12, it speaks of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn to many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And here we find that these foundations that the city is built upon, the promises of God, the truth of God, the gospel, and the word of God as per given through the apostles. Wow, there's the foundation. Here's the foundation of life. So many people today, their religion isn't based on the Bible, is it? That's not a very good foundation, is it? How many millions of people thinking, hoping that they're going to get to heaven because of a man-made doctrine, infant baptism? That's not a very good foundation. It's not in the Bible. There's only one foundation. That foundation is the truth of the gospel right here. The truth of God's word. And that city, that foundation, you know, people can mock that today. You know, people today, boy, they just are, they just really mock the Bible. But that foundation of which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. I mean, it's going to be glistening. It's so precious. It's so wonderful. It's so glorious. You know, we cover up our foundations up there. They're going to be glistening. So, we look there. Now, look at verse 22. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. A street of gold. A place of perfect communion with God. Road, that's what you travel on. Gold, representative of God. A place of perfect communion with God. You know, once in a while in our lives, we really get close to God. Once in a while, there's a real reviving take place in our life. As we read even in history in which the real revival has taken place, people have been overwhelmed by the holiness of God. And as they have gotten right with God, there was a great glory of being in perfect, being in intimate fellowship with the Lord. But heaven is a place of constant, perfect communion with God. Wow. What a place. Then it goes on to tell us that it says in verse chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here's a river flowing out of the throne of God. The fountainhead of this river is God's throne. The source of this, think of that verse in Psalm 87, verse 7. It says, all our springs are in thee. All the source of all our blessings. It's a place of unlimited blessing, continual blessing. This river is the stream of blessing, and it comes from the very throne of God. Here we have a picture of heaven that exceeds the picture of the Garden of Eden. Oh, we think of the Garden of Eden, and we think of the trees, and we think of the river, and we think of that Garden of Eden, that place that man walked with God. Well, this one is far superior than that one. The river is place of the blessing. Notice the trees. It says on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are there for the healing of the nations. And so we have trees always bearing fresh fruit. Every month, all the time. You know, in the Old Testament, the blessing of God of the nation of Israel was pictured by the fruit of the land. And it used three things all the time. It says, you know, you're going to be in the place of God's blessing. The land is going to flow with wine and with wheat and with olive oil. And of course, the word wine there is not talking about alcoholic beverage, it's talking about grape juice. You know, you don't get alcoholic beverage out of grapes, you get grape juice. You get olive oil out of olive trees, and you get wheat out of wheat plants. They're talking about the raw materials and the blessings that come from walking with the Lord. And so the blessings in heaven. The blessings of heaven. Thinking of Psalm 16:11. What did David say about heaven? In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so David, as he thought about heaven and what heaven was like, we see that picture there of the fruit trees always bearing fruit. And these speak of the health and the happiness of the saints. And the glory of being in the presence with the Lord. And you know, there's a great, it's just a great thing of thinking of that wonderful blessing, the pleasures of being in the presence of God. You know, I don't know where I was, but I was just talking to someone. Oh, I know who I was talking to. And they were saying something like they had a twin sister or something. And she said, my sister smokes. And my sister looks 10 to 15 years older than me. Well, yeah, sin. Sin really shows after a while, doesn't it? Sin really ages people. But you know, in heaven, we have trees that are always bearing fresh fruit every month, and it speaks of the health and the vibrancy and the vigor and the happiness of the people of God in heaven. Wow. And it says, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There's no curse. It's free from all that is evil. It is a perfect place. You know, I like that verse in Titus that says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the undefiled, everything is defiled. You know, purity is so precious. Purity is so precious. It's a wonderful, purity is beyond comprehension. It is so wonderful. Some people, all their life, are plagued with wickedness. Some people have experienced so much sin that their mind is never clean. They can't go somewhere without having a lustful thought. They can't go somewhere without having some kind of evil thought. I mean, they're just as evil as just permeating their lives. They it's like a crooked salesman. One time we had someone come to the nursery, and you know, they were, you could just kind of tell they were kind of that kind of person. They came up driving in this big Cadillac, you know, and they said to my wife, "How much are your roses?" And she gave him what the price is, and she says, "Hey, I can get those roses down at Garden Mart for such and such a price. Well, you know, you ought to sell them to me for that price." And my wife, you know, kind of thinks, "No way, no." And so she went in the house. She called up Garden Mart. She says, "Did you tell some guy you're going to sell?" "Not a chance." I mean, the guy was such a liar that he couldn't go anywhere without lying. You know? And, you know, he was like some politicians. He could say it with a smile on his face. And he was such a liar, he believed his own lies. But, you know, heaven's a pure place. Purity. That is so wonderful. You know, young person, don't even want to be like the world. Don't even desire the movies of the world. Don't think of that as some great opportunity to watch the movies of Hollywood and have your mind defiled and to lose the purity of mind and soul that is so precious. The purity of innocence. You know, I didn't grow up saved, but you know what? I really feel bad for young people today. I mean, one click away from the worst, gross rottenness in the world. And when I was growing up, we lived in a little town. And you couldn't see that kind of stuff unless you went to the drugstore. And you went to the cashier and you had to you give that to somebody. You give your money to somebody that you knew. And your family knew. It's not like that today, is it? But heaven is pure. It's perfect from all that is evil. Just as you think of the sweetness of a child being able to be brought up in innocency. And the great contrast of that child brought up in innocency versus the child that is brought up with all the defilement of the world. Just think of heaven and how glorious the purity and the innocency of heaven. You know, as you think about heaven, it ought to cause us to see the wickedness of the world in a whole new light. It just shows you how the lights and the glitter and the all that the world has is just a lie. What a temptation of the devil to draw young people into that lie. Don't draw near to that. Shun it. Forsake it. Be as pure as you can be. That's where the glory is. Notice it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And the servants shall see him, and they shall see his face. And they shall see his face. You know, what a contrast. We're there in the book of Revelation, and it says, and from his presence or from his face they fled. But the saints of God get to look on his face. Their sins are gone. They've been made righteous in the Lamb. And they can bask in the glory and the beauty of God. I was thinking about this. So we're doing a little bit of planning and thinking of different things. You know, we've been thinking about, for many, many years, I've thought about, future missionary retirement housing and, the possibility of assisted living complex. And in my mind, it has always been on the hillside over there, the mission house. On that hillside, there's a beautiful valley. Brother Griffin gets to see it every day. I mean, it's a beautiful view, you know, not a beautiful, beautiful valley and just gorgeous. And, you know, people pay a lot of money for a good view. I went to my third or fourth cousin over there in Isle of Anglesey in Wales. We got to go and visit him. He didn't know that we were a relative. We had to talk him into it. He's got a house on the overlooks the Irish Sea. Can you imagine it? His land, his property overlooks the Irish Sea. I mean, a beautiful view. And they're just kind of eking out a living. The farm doesn't have enough to support them. And he does part-time work. He does full-time work. And his wife works part-time. And I said, you know, if you lived in America, this land would be worth millions. Imagine that. A farm on the Irish Sea. The beautiful view. But guess what the view is in heaven? The face of God. The Bible talks about the beauty of his holiness. Moses saw the glory of the Lord. And his face shone as he was with the Lord. But we get to enjoy the perfect view, the beautiful view of our God. And it only can be because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it can only be because of the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ that is imputed to us when we put our faith, and faith alone, in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Think of light. Light is a picture of perfect knowledge, perfect joy, fullness of wisdom, the comfort of the Lord, perfect communion with God, giveth them light. Living in the light of God. Having our whole life lighted by God. Wonderful place. As you begin to see this picture here, you begin to see that the physical things that are portrayed, that are describing this place called heaven, can only be a small fraction of a glimpse of the glory of heaven. It says how the nations of the world will bring their glory into it. Their glory will be nothing in comparison to the glory of God. Paul went to heaven. And the Bible says that... losing my words here, the phrase, but he saw unspeakable things. In other words, words could never describe the glory of heaven. And God has given us these physical realities of heaven to give us a little sense of the greatness of that place called heaven. What a privilege it is as lost sinners to be able to be saved because of the precious death and the blood shed of our Savior. I'm afraid that oftentimes our thoughts on heaven are so insignificant in comparison to how great it is. I'm afraid that oftentimes we use that phrase, hey, do you know if you're going to heaven when you die? We almost can make it commonplace. Like it's nothing. Now, yes, there's 12 gates. It's accessible. And the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus gave his life. It's beyond comprehension what he paid that we could have heaven. But oftentimes we just kind of make it a very trite little saying. And oftentimes, you know, how sad it is, you go to a funeral and this usually is what happens if the people aren't saved and they don't know about salvation. What do they normally say? Oh, they're in a better place. That's what they say. You know, how many people have you gone to a funeral and they said, oh, he's in a better place, but you witnessed to that person, you know, days before they died, and they said, I'm on my way to hell. People make it so trite, don't they? But heaven is more glorious than we could ever imagine. I think the picture here is clear, that heaven is far more glorious than we ever imagined. And as the Apostle Paul said, words could never describe the glory of it. But we have a little sense of it. And I hope today that as we looked at the Word of God, that we have a little sense, a better sense of the glory of heaven. And the wonderful place that it is. And that we could reiterate with the great King David, who said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What a wonderful place, that place called heaven. I remember when Pastor Frank Bumpus had a terminal disease, and over a long period of time, his health was failing. And so he really fought that sickness, and he really fought it. And I remember one time he said something like this. He said, you know, us preachers, we're always telling people about, getting ready for heaven and telling people about heaven and going to heaven and getting ready to go to heaven. And he says, here we are telling everybody how great it is to go to heaven, and here we are fighting going. Are you ready? Are you on your way to heaven? Heaven is so great, it's an awful thought even to think about eternal fire in hell. Heaven is so great, I think maybe if we'd think about heaven a little bit more and what it's really like, it might change our living a little bit. The lights of Reno, the lights of Las Vegas, wouldn't be so appealing. They would be more revealed for what they really are. Maybe we need to think more about heaven. As we think of heaven, how much more thankful we ought to be for the grace of God. For those of us who know Him. Thankful, worshipful, as we think of the greatness of that place. And then we think of those loved ones, perhaps you know already are there. Wow. David said, I can't bring them back, but I'll go to be with them. So we think about these things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the truth of the Word of God. Truth that, Lord, we know rings in our souls of a clear and bright picture. And I trust a brighter and clearer picture than we came with than we came to this place with. A picture that would cause us, Lord, to live differently, to see the defilement of the world differently, to see holiness and purity differently. to think about, Lord, the preciousness of living in your presence. And how in our lives, Lord, our lives need to be characterized much more by walking in communion with you. Lord, we all want to live. We all want to live as long as we can. Lord, we ought not to dread dying. We ought to anticipate heaven. Help these truths, Lord, even to be real in our lives. That as we live and as we die, we would be living and dying like a Christian ought. And so, Lord, work in our midst, even today, as some need to make important decisions and changes. As our thinking, Lord, I trust has been changed a little bit, even as we studied your word. With heads bowed and eyes closed, are you ready for heaven? There's angels at the doors, the gates, and no one that hasn't been saved can come in. No one can go in that's not been born again. There's angels at the gates. You're here today, you say, you know what, I need to be born again. I need to get ready for that wonderful place called heaven. Say, I'm not saved. I need to be. Raise your hand and I might pray for you. Anyone here today? I'm not ready. I'm not born again. I need to be. Perhaps you're here today. You say, you know, as a Christian, God has been speaking to me about some area of your life. About an attitude of life. Maybe about the attitude about this world. God's been speaking to you. Say, you know, the Spirit of God has been moving in my heart today about applying this truth to my life, how I think, how I live, how I act, what's important, what isn't important. Say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart today. I know what it is. The Spirit of God has spoken to me about it. And by an uplifted hand, I'm just saying, yes, Lord. And I'm asking you to pray for me. Anyone here today? Okay. Amen. I see a number of different hands, different places. Amen. Others? How about you? Okay. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about you, young person? Living in the light of heaven, the world won't look too appealing. You're thinking about heaven. God is speaking to your heart. Anyone else? Now, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of being here today. Thank you for speaking to hearts, Lord. And, Lord, we know that it's a blessing when you speak to our hearts. And, Lord, we also know it's a blessing that when you give people a tender heart, and humble heart, that they would even publicly acknowledge your working. And Lord, you said that you'll give grace to the humble. Lord, you said, draw near unto me, and I unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Lord, might you draw near unto your people. Might that which you are seeking to do, might it come and bear fruit in lives. And so, Lord, our lives are before you. Minister and work in our hearts. And help decisive, clear decisions be made where they ought to. Whether it's a decision of faith, of trust, or a decision of action, of repentance. Lord, give grace even in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.